We will all be blessed by being here. Sandra, over to you. There's no coffee, that's right.
Good morning. The first announcement I'd like to talk about is our nativity display that happens the first Saturday of December. Time is passing by very quickly, so please dig out your nativities and bring them along before the first Sunday of Saturday of December. I can't think of what that date is, that Sunday before, but about the 29th, something like that, or the 20th, something like that. So the other thing is that to switch it up a little bit, we'd like the children to do drawings or paintings or colorings of the nativity, and we will display them. We'll try to display them in a nice way. And even if the children that you're thinking of don't come to church, just mention it to them. We'd be happy to display any grandchildren's work or any neighbor kids that you know. It'll just be really, I think, really neat to see how kids view it. Marge and I are thinking of setting up on November 30th, and possibly earlier for the Christmas tree and that, so we'll keep you posted as to when we're going to be setting up and decorating. Ladies' Bible study is continuing Thursday mornings at 10 a.m., and Ian mentioned that the Remembrance Day service at the hall starts at 10:30 today. It's not too late for you to participate in Operation Christmas Child. Boxes are still available in the foyer. The elders' meeting will be next Saturday, November 17th. Mustard seed donations, new socks, gloves, toques, scarves, etc., can be placed in the container in the foyer. And your donations of non-perishable food items toward the food hampers for the needy in our area can be placed in the foyer as well. Are there any other announcements this morning? Thank you.
Thank you, Sandra. We worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. We come now before his presence in silence. The Lord Jesus says, "Give, and it will be given to you. A good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over, will be poured into your lap. For with the measure you use, it will be measured to you." We're having an approach hymn this morning. Hymn number 454, "Glorious is Thy Name, Most Holy." Peggy said to me, she wasn't sure if the tune was so well known. And I said, "Peggy, give us another one." So I'm not sure what tune we're singing it to. 454, "Glorious is Thy Name, Most Holy."
Thank you.
We bow our heads and join together in prayer. Let us pray. Almighty and gracious God, our Father in heaven, we bow before your throne of grace and we worship you and we give thanks. On this special Sunday, Lord, in our church calendar, we remember and we give thanks for the sacrifices made by the thousands who suffered or died that we might live in peaceful lands. We are thankful, Lord, that we live in happy homes, free from the worry of oppression, and with a bright future to look forward to. We are thankful, Father, and we acknowledge our debt, and we will remember them. And we thank you, Lord God, for the countless blessings in our lives, and we come to you asking for even more. Bless us, Lord, with a faith that is fun, with a spirit that is exciting, and with a religion that has a vision. Grant us a vision, Lord, of life and excitement in your service, of love and service to others, of mercy and care for those around us, and of justice and peace for our whole world. And right now, Father, we pray in silence for those whom you have placed upon our hearts to care about and to worry about. And we mention their names now, Lord, before your throne of grace. We pray at this time, Holy Father, for your church throughout the world. We realize, Lord, that we are richly blessed, that we are able to worship you freely and without any fear of persecution. And so our prayers, Lord, are for your churches who do not enjoy these same privileges. May your church, Lord, be strengthened by the mighty power of your Spirit. May your word be a mightier sword as it cuts through atheism and unbelief. And may your holy church be a beacon of light in the prevailing darkness of this world. And we thank you especially, Father, for our own church, for the joys and for the privileges that we enjoy in this rich fellowship of faith. Help us, Lord, to share our blessings with our communities as we seek to love and to serve in your holy name. Lord, we ask you to grant us the grace of your presence in the week ahead. Be with us in all of the challenges that lie before us. And in all circumstances, we ask you, Father, to help us to realize that we are your presence here on earth. And as such, we pray, Holy Father, that we may be channels of your blessing to all whom we meet. We pray in the name of Jesus, and we pray as Jesus taught us to pray, as we say together, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. At 10:30, of course, there will be the act of remembrance by the whole community at the community hall. But as is traditional in our own church, on the Sunday nearest to Remembrance Sunday, we rise for a few moments of silence, and we in our own church pay silent tribute to those who gave their lives and who gave of their health and their homes and gave of everything that we might live in peace and prosperity. So we stand for a few moments in silence. They shall not grow old, as we that are left grow old. Age shall not weary them, nor the years condemn. At the going down of the sun and in the morning, we will remember them. We will remember them. Thank you. Please be seated. Your gifts for the work of God in this church and throughout the world will now be received. Thank you. Heavenly Father, we are ever thankful for your grace and for your goodness to us. And so we come to you now, Lord, and we bring these our gifts. They are but humble tokens of our gratitude. But we ask you, Father, to accept these gifts and to accept the givers. For we dedicate them all to the extension of your kingdom here on earth. For Jesus' sake. Amen. Thank you. Margaret Brown, who is the lady who frequently gives you a call and gets you to do the scripture readings on a Sunday, well, Margaret had a little spell in hospital this week. As it turned out, she's okay. They were worried about her heart, but her heart was 100% and she's out of hospital and she's doing all right. The thing is, did she contact anyone to do the scripture reading today before she went to hospital? Ta-da! We're only doing the gospel reading. Okay? So, we now listen to the word of God. Thank you.
Okay, that means I have to change glasses. I got a lot of warning. Scripture reading this morning is from Mark chapter 12, verses 38 to 44. This is the widow's offering. As he taught, Jesus said, "Watch out for the teachers of the law. They like to walk around in flowing robes and be greeted with respect in the marketplaces, and have the most important seats in the synagogues and the places of honor at banquets. They devour widows' houses for a show, make lengthy prayers. These men will be punished most severely." Jesus sat down opposite the place where the offerings were put and watched the crowd putting their money into the temple treasury. Many rich people threw in large amounts, but a poor widow came and put in two very small copper coins worth only a few cents. Calling his disciples to him, Jesus said, "Truly, I tell you, this poor widow has put more into the treasury than all the others. They all gave out their wealth, but she, out of her poverty, put in everything, all she had to live on.
Thanks to Dan for that reading from the scriptures. On Thursday of this past week, our ladies' group at their meeting, they were putting together our church's shoeboxes, ready to go to Samaritan's Purse. And Samaritan's Purse then distribute the boxes to the needy children in the many different poor parts of the world. Now, later this month, a group of people from our own church will join with volunteers from all over the area down at Samaritan's Purse in Calgary to go through all the boxes to make sure that everything's fine in the boxes and that they're all good to go. So that's a great occasion, and it's to make sure that these boxes are all balanced. And just as a point of interest, when our ladies get together, they usually start off by putting together, they're going to put together 12 boxes. I think we've got 58 boxes so far. Now, that's not just what the ladies put together, that's all the work that they did and all the other ones that have come in. That's so far, and there may well be more before we get to the event of them going down to Samaritan's Purse. We've all seen the joy that these shoeboxes bring to children when we've watched the various parts of the DVD that we get from Samaritan's Purse. Children who would otherwise have nothing get these gifts, and these small gifts, they bring amazing joy to the children. But I wonder, do you ever wonder what happens next? What happens after the shoeboxes? So what I'm going to do now is to ask Grant to show us a video from Samaritan's Purse, and it's entitled After the Box. Richard, can you just get the lights? Thank you.
You may know the story. One shoebox, one gift, one life. But do you know what happens next? I'm traveling through the back country of Nicaragua, hoping to find the real story of Operation Christmas Child. Now, here's what I know. People like you and me pack and donate shoeboxes full of gifts. Operation Christmas Child then takes those shoeboxes and ships them across the world into the hands of the poorest of the poor. And for most kids, that's the first gift they've ever received. Now, for me, that's where I thought it all ended. But I'm being told that the shoeboxes are just the beginning. Our first visit is with the strongest 5-year-old you'll ever meet. Sarai has big, trusting eyes. But behind those big eyes and bright smile is a story of transformation that thrills my heart.
Cuéntame cómo era tu papá antes.
Malo.
¿Y por qué era malo?
Porque me pegaba a mi mamá.
Sarai's father was a heavy drinker, so violent, he brought his family to tears many times. And in this one-bedroom house, the violence was impossible to ignore.
Entonces vino la niña, se ponía a llorar, pero yo no le interesaba.
But Sarai's family says 3 months ago, everything changed.
Ya vino ese proyecto de las cajitas. Pues hay paz y gozo en la casa.
She's talking about a powerful Bible study program that Operation Christmas Child offers with many shoeboxes. The program introduced Sarai to the love of God and his son Jesus.
So one Sunday she said, "Dad, I'm not going to eat today unless you come to church with me." And she did it. She got him to come to church with her. He's now a believer. He doesn't drink. He doesn't beat his wife. And she says that they're a happy family now. So this is an amazing story of how one shoebox has completely transformed a family.
No tengo palabras como decirle a mi Dios. No me alcanzará la vida para decírselo porque a comparar lo que vi antes, lo que iba ahora es muy diferente.
I had no idea.
that a shoebox could do that in just 3 months, but it did. So what does that mean for someone who got a shoebox 10 or 20 years ago? We find the answer in the strangest of places. On the soccer field, Pastor Jose Bismarck has a beaming smile because of one gift 15 years ago.
De verdad que todo cambió. Todo cambió. Fue como una magia.
It was one soccer ball packed in one shoebox, but he didn't keep it all for himself. With the help of Operation Christmas Child's Bible Study program for children, Bismarck used that one ball to reach hundreds for Christ.
Empezamos a ir a los barrios más pobres, a buscar niños y a trabajar con niños. Y ahí empezó mi ministerio. Yo ya era un pastor de niños. Un pastor de niños y cuando...
Today, he's the pastor of hundreds of children and adults. He's using Operation Christmas Child's Bible Study programs to bring more than 150 kids to Christ last year alone. And he credits it all to one shoebox.
Puede conmocionar, puede mover el corazón de un niño, pero no solamente de un niño. Puede mover el corazón de toda una familia. ¡Ah! También de toda la comunidad. Y yo considero que sí, es un milagro.
A miracle that's happening around the world. In fact, through Operation Christmas Child, hundreds of thousands are coming to Christ every year. In not only Latin America, but in Africa, in Asia, and in other parts of the world, children are graduating from Operation Christmas Child's Bible study programs, including the newest and most exciting, called The Greatest Journey. Churches are emerging, countries transforming for Christ. I know that we can do better, but it starts with you. If you didn't pack a shoebox last year, pack one this year. If you packed three, pack three more. Together with Operation Christmas Child, we can change a generation.
We frequently use the phrase, God moves in a mysterious way, his wonders to perform. And I think this is practically seen in the way that God is able to work through these simple shoebox gifts. They're only tiny little things packed in a little box there, and yet God is able to take the tiniest of what we offer to him and perform mighty miracles with it. The bad dad in there. Peace and joy came to his family via the shoebox. The person who originally packed that shoebox would never know. They would never know the great good that God is going to bring out of what they placed in that shoebox. The soccer pastor, how his shoebox led him to receiving Jesus into his life and moving from that point into work of ministry to children. And now 15 years on, he's reaching out and he's got the gospel going out to all of these young people. What a great joy. And they're just two examples of the amazing ways that God works through this amazing and fantastic Operation Christmas Child. And so I think we'll bear that in our minds as we stand and we sing to the glory of God the hymn 580, Jesus Loves the Little Children.
Jesus loves the little children, all the children of the world. Red and yellow, black and white, they are precious in his sight. Jesus loves the little children of the world.
Let's sing it again.
Jesus loves the little children, all the children of the world. Red and yellow, black and white, they are precious in his sight. Jesus loves the little children of the world.
I think if the children are going out to Sunday school, now is the appropriate moment. Would you pray with me, please? And now may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be perfectly acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. A rabbi once asked his students which act of charity they thought was the higher. Is it when we are acting out of obligation? This being when we do something as a sense of duty. We feel obligated to do something, and so that's how we do it. Even though I don't particularly feel like doing it, it's my duty, so I'm going to do it anyway. Or is it when someone does something from the heart? I am doing it because I want to do it. That's what it's all about. I really want to do this, and that's why I'm doing it. Most of the students were inclined to respond that acting or giving from the heart was the more noble act of charitable giving. And I guess that sounds kind of right, wouldn't you think so? From the heart, that's the way to do things. But these students had a feeling that the rabbi would come up with an answer which was the opposite to which most of them thought. And they were not disappointed. Giving from the heart, the rabbi said, is a wonderful thing. It is a very high act and should never be demeaned. But there is something much more important that happens when somebody acts out of obligation. Consider, he continued, who is giving or performing the charitable act. When someone acts or gives from the heart, there is a clear sense of oneself doing something. In other words, heartfelt charitable works always involve a degree of ego gratification. However, he says, when we act out of obligation, when we act at the very moment that every part of us is yelling no because of one reason or another, the beneficiary is disgusting, it's too much money, I can't afford it, or any of the other thousands of reasons that we always seem to have for not doing things. These are the moments, he says, when we confront our own egos and are doing or giving anyway. Why do we do it? Because it is our firm belief that we are supposed to. It is our duty. And what that means, he says, is that it is not us that is doing the charitable act. Rather, we are vehicles through which God is acting. The Bible reading that Dan read for us this morning was about this poor widow who went and made her donation to the temple treasury. We read that she threw in two small coins, which were not worth very much at all in comparison to the gifts that the wealthy were giving. But that was all she had. She was giving, or was she giving? Was she giving from her heart? Or was she giving out of a sense of obligation? When she threw those two coins in there, the only two coins that she had, I bet her whole being was screaming out to her, no. Yet despite all of the logical reasons why she should have kept those two coins to live on, she gave them to the temple. She gave them to God. She acted out of her obligation to God. And what did Jesus say about this? He said, she has put more into the treasury than all of the others. She's put more into that treasury than all of the others. Her last two pennies were a fortune to God. God can perform greater and mightier miracles with her two small coins than can be done with the wealthy gifts. Now, why is that? How come? Because of the spirit with which those gifts were given. We must remember that our ways are not God's ways. God is way above anything that we can understand. And God can do things that we can't do. And God can take something that we consider to be small, and he can make it something mighty. And he can create huge things with it. It is to do with the way in which the gift is given. The spirit in which the gift is given. On this day, when we pay tribute to all who went through all kinds of misery in wartime, why do we think that they did it? Was it from the heart? Did they really want to go to war? Or did they go because it was an obligation and it was a duty? They did it as an act of obligation, as their duty to their country, to their families, to their communities, to their friends. And Jesus says, there is no greater love than this. When a person goes off to serve their country, they don't think for one minute that they can achieve much purely by their own efforts. They know that in the overall scheme of things, their contribution to the whole war effort is really quite small. When that poor widow placed her two small coins in the treasury, I'm sure she didn't think for one minute that because of her two small coins that she was going to solve all of the financial problems of the church. Those two small coins could have helped to resolve her financial problems, but she gave them to God. And personally, sometimes when I think of this miracle, or this act that is recorded here, I wonder what miracle that God did perform with those two small coins. Because he will have done. And when you placed all of those small little items in your shoebox, you may have thought, this is not going to make a whole lot of difference on the world stage. But take a look at the sheer joy that God brings to children and to the families of these children all over the world because of these seemingly small blessings that you packed in your shoebox. When your little deeds of charity are performed in the right spirit, in the right frame of mind, God moves in his mysterious ways, his wonders to perform. And what you do, which may not seem much to you, is the channel through which God moves in a mighty way. Our worship of this morning, of course, will continue at the community hall at 10:30. When we join with the rest of our community in our act of remembrance. Thanks be to God. Amen. We're going to stand and sing our closing hymns. First of all, the hymn number 447, Freely, Freely.
I've been born.
God's people. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all and all whom we love, this day and forevermore.